Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome again to our second hour in Circles of Change. And get ready, folks. This is going to be one of those uplifting segments that's going to be informative, but also full of humor and laughter. So I welcome Judy Sook from Ontario, Canada area on the show. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Zara. Glad to be here.
You bet. Let me do a brief introduction. Judy is a motivational humorist, also a college professor, corporate trainer, and author from Ontario, Canada area. She's president of Triangle Seminars, which offers a community of seasoned motivational and subject matter expert presenters. And Judy is herself a very popular speaker at conferences and corporate events, truly on a mission to bring humor and hope to people around the world. A recipient of a number of awards and certificates of appreciation, including winning Toastmasters and stand-up comedy contests, Judy carefully customizes her keynote speeches, seminars, and workshops to ensure remarks are relevant, informative, entertaining, and really memorable for each group she works with. Popular titles include Let Laughter Lighten the Load, Package Yourself for Success, Balancing It All, and Handling It All. Before founding Triangle Seminars, Judy held management positions in the corporate world and has been a leader for various volunteer boards. She truly believes that laughter has a power to heal the body, soothe the soul, lift the spirit, and give us energy. And she can often be found speaking at various retirement residencies throughout the greater Toronto area, acting as a master of ceremonies at charity events, and providing really powerful opening keynotes at conferences in Canada and here in the United States. You know, I love that statement that laughter is the best medicine. Having said that, though, Judy, right now, what do you find are the things that get the most response from the audience? I mean, what hot topics or nerves do you find yourself wanting to go peek to get that big ha-ha right now?
Oh, well, I think that a lot of people are really struggling with being more joyful in life.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things I talk about are finding that place where you're going to be happier than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that involves, you know, based on specific incidences that people have gone through, do you think that really resonates with them, or kind of a phase in their life or a phase in their career?
Well, there's a lot of people that are semi-retired. They've stopped the corporate world, but they want to find something new. There's other people in this economy that have been downsized or outsourced or are changing careers because things have changed. So it's a matter of people looking for new direction in their life. We all want more.
Yeah, and I think the idea that, you know, the way you're doing it with humor is to remind us to also lighten up at a time where everything is really heavying down on us.
Well, I think the heavier, the sadder, the worse life is, the more that you got to find laughter. And the key with getting on with your life and finding better things is having a high energy. Well, when you're sad and upset and worried, you have low energy. But as soon as you start watching funny movies or you read funny books, or you spend time with friends who make you laugh, then you're bringing up that energy and you're starting to get excited again.
You know, isn't that true? And if you think about it, when you hear people reference, you know, let's say some, and interestingly enough, I think it's primarily early career stories, that we talk about the pranks we used to pull on each other in the workforce. You know, how you booby-trapped that one boss's desk, and you didn't get fired, but man, did it help lighten everybody's spirits, or you hid something really horrible in somebody's lunchbox. And you wonder how we sadly lose that opportunity to kind of be our authentic, playful side to help, particularly when things are upside down in the work environment.
You're so right. I think a lot of us lose it. The older we get, the more we've lost it. But the trouble is that we forget that it's okay to have fun.
Yeah.
People worry that, well, if I'm having too much fun, people won't take me seriously. And it's just the opposite. If you bring humor into the workplace, then you find out that people want to be around you, they want to cooperate with you, they're more enthusiastic about your opinions. And so we really got to pull that back in. We got to let that child out, so to speak. Loretta LaRoche, I'm sure you've heard of her,
yes.
Has a wonderful line where she says, your inner child is probably miserable because your outer adult isn't having any fun.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so we figure out how to have fun. We start playing a lot more. And if you don't know how to have fun, follow around little people.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, and if anything, they trip you to make you have fun. Well, Judy, you stepped out of the corporate world yourself and turned around and not only, of course, have enabled a wonderful career for yourself and the whole public speaking area, but you've surrounded yourself with the colleagues and a speakers bureau. What prompted you to do that?
Well, you know, I did work in the corporate world for a long time in various roles, from sales through management and finally as a human resource manager, and I had a heart attack. And I thought, you know what? I got to make some changes in my life. And there's a wonderful doctor in Toronto that tells you to go find your joy when you have heart attacks or strokes. And so I thought, you know, what are my talents and skills that I enjoy doing? And I've always enjoyed laughter. When I was a little girl, my heroes were Red Skelton, Carol Burnett, and Lucille Ball. I wanted to be them. But in Canada, we don't have a Red Skelton school of comedy. So I went off in the corporate world. But then I found out that, you know what, if that's my strength, right, if that's what I love doing, then I should try to find a career where I can do it. And I just took the leap and went off and did it.
So does that mean that you first tried out, you know, the different voices and jokes and fun in the work world? But were, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that you have competed in stand-up comedy competitions. So was this something you were doing on the side as well as working full-time?
Yes, I joined Toastmasters, which is throughout the States as well. I joined Toastmasters in 1995, and they appreciated my humor, and I started winning contests, and then I went in a stand-up comedy contest, and so there was this natural ability that I had, and so yes, I went off in that direction. I hadn't used it that much in the corporate world. I think that I was afraid that they, you know, they wouldn't take me seriously either, but then I let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, and I got much better.
And the fact that you've attracted other colleagues with a similar interest, I have to envision if you all get together for your, you know, maybe a quarterly update, if this isn't a one-up contest of jokes amongst one another.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, or giving each other new material. Hey, try this one out with an insurance customer, you know?
Well, just, you know, well, we do. We share a lot of things that we do with our corporate world, and there's a lot of anecdotes that come from my personal life and my time in the trenches in the corporate world. But I think the key is that I'm not afraid to share those embarrassing moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the embarrassing moments that people remember the stories and they do what you tell them. Just a quick one that had happened to me. When I, very first time that I was on a big stage with the lapel mic, I was doing a great job. I was real professional, and I called for a break and went off to the washroom.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I'm coming out of the washroom. People are shouting, you really should turn that thing off when you go to the bathroom. And I thought, oh, my God, there was 250 men waiting in the ballroom. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, you know what? You got to laugh at things. So I took to the stage. I looked at these men, and I said, well, now that I'm relieved and ready to start, how about you?
After they'd already been buzzing in the audience.
The key was I shared that embarrassing moment with them. And you would not believe the number of corporate bookings I got out of that day.
Sure.
And I know it was because I was willing to laugh at myself.
Oh, and I had, you know, my most embarrassing story of all time was I was at a major conference. It was an international conference. The colleagues I was with, they kind of positioned who was going to sit where at this very large table. It was a dinner in Belgium. And I sat next to this rather elderly gentleman, and being my typical American chitty chat, you know, the most American thing to do at conferences, you say, and where is it you work and what do you do? Which is absolutely taboo in European circles, quite honestly. So I say that to the gentleman next to me, and he gives me this answer about him being in international service and so on. And there was this rather younger man sitting on his side, which actually we were very similar age, and I leaned over to him and said, and what is it you do? And he looks at me kind of shocked, and everybody on the other side of the table busts up laughing, to which I'm thinking, uh-oh, what did I just do? And he says, well, I don't work. And I said, oh, well, aren't you a lucky person? You're in transition. And then I shifted to the other folks, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, I did put my foot in my mouth. About 10 minutes later, I leaned over so I could see his name tag. It was the Prince of Belgium. It was one of the single most eligible bachelors in the planet, and my colleagues were trying to fix us up, and I totally blew it. And I've told that story, like you see, and to my message on that one, that I will never leave a situation, is I never, ever ask anyone, and what is it you do? So, you know, and I just kind of realized how embarrassing that was, let alone I'm thinking, doggone it, Zara, you blew it. There was a prince.
Absolutely.
So
I don't
rate.
Know if you would have been happy as a princess.
I would absolutely not have. But, you know, we it's somewhere in our background we watch Cinderella, all of us girls, right? I mean, it's just how we were brought up. Well, Judy, you know, the idea of you being a stand-up comedian and weaving that into your corporate training, I would well imagine that before you take any of these custom engagements, you really do your homework on your clients so you can find out where their funny bones are.
I do, and you have to be so careful with humor because you don't want to offend anybody. And as you say, in different cultures, certainly, you have to be careful. And so when I'm doing international conferences, I double-check to see, well, who are the delegates, where are they from? And then I do. I ask people from their culture what's funny. And I literally write my material accordingly because you have to do that. And I think you have to be so careful when you're networking to find a job or to do sales or whatever to really get to know the people that you're dealing with.
And particularly if you can take it down to that element of being able to laugh and chuckle at yourself, that then it really endears people to allow themselves to laugh at themselves or their industry or their company, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you're pretty safe if you're making fun of yourself, no matter what culture you're in. As long as it's you're making fun of you, you get out there. And I find that everybody likes that, so.
Yeah. Well, now, I have to ask, though, I suspect with all the countless presentations and workshops and training you've done, though, that every now and then you must hit a flat tire where, you know, you thought you had some funny material that you didn't. It really wasn't. So, you know, has that happened? And then how did you recover from it?
Well, number one, I don't worry about it.
Okay.
Whether they laugh or not, if they just smile and they enjoyed it, then that's good enough. They don't have to out and out laugh at things. And I think that's, if people are trying to put humor into their material or their life and they're worried about other people laughing, then that makes it kind of dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do. But what I do is I laugh myself. Red Skelton used to laugh so hard he couldn't get the punchline out.
Oh, exactly.
So I'm not afraid to. And you know what? I have even looked at an audience and said, come on, that was funny. And then they laugh. And so maybe they were afraid to laugh at it, or maybe it's a serious group and they're afraid that they shouldn't laugh at all. In fact, one time I was doing something for the government and the audience didn't laugh. And I said, oh, come on, is the big guy here? And the Minister of Education and Training stepped forward and waved at me. And I said, are you leaving soon?
Which
he did leave, and then they had a chance to laugh.
Then they had a chance to laugh.
Boss or whomever. But you know what? I don't worry about it being funny. Yeah. I just let it out there. The key is to choose material that makes sense anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not throwing it in as a joke. It's making a good point. So it doesn't really matter if they laugh.
That's right. Well, Judy, you had wanted to name this segment Stepping and Staying Out of Our Comfort Zone. And so why do you think that's so particularly important these days?
Well, you know what? I think people, as they age especially, they get very complacent. They lose the thrill for their job, and then their life becomes dull and boring, and they lose their energy, and then they get sick, and it goes downhill. And so I think that people have to constantly be looking for that big challenge, that excitement in their life, and in changing ways. And I once talked to an 82-year-old man that was at the end of a marathon. He beat my husband, which was funny. But I said to him, you know, what makes you live so vibrantly? And he said three things. Someone to love, something to do every day, and something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And if we're not stepping outside our comfort zone, what are we looking forward to?
Right. And so I think, you know, for so many people, even just trying to make it through every day right now with the challenges they might have in their personal life, professional life, to say that still those anchors, someone to love, something to look forward to doing, and to do it every day, can really be a nice way to stay moving forward.
Yeah, that routine, like it's something that we have to get out of bed for and do every day. And if you're between jobs, then that something to get out of bed for is looking for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. You decide, okay, what three things am I going to do today that are going to move me towards getting a job? It may be taking a course. It may be looking for, you know, experimenting and finding out what does bring me joy in life. What do I want to change to?
The idea of stepping out of your comfort zone is one thing, you know, to take the risk and perhaps, you know, from the standpoint of humor and the like, going a little bit out in the foolish area. But then staying out of your comfort zone is a whole nother trick, isn't it? Because it's so easy to say, well, I'm going to try that out, but then I'm going to step back.
You're right. I think people are afraid. When I left the corporate world to be a stand-up comedian and professional speaker, you can imagine how many people told me I was nuts.
Right.
I had group benefits. I had a pension. I had all these things I was giving up. And so I stepped out the door, and it took me probably 4 years to get going really, really well. And during those 4 years, loads of times, I had job offers to go back to human resources, which I could have easily done. But I kept thinking, life is so much more exciting, and I love what I do, and I don't want a 9-to-5 job, and so I stayed there. And I think that we have to think about the joy factor in our life. Even if we've stepped down and we're making less money or things aren't going perfectly, we got to keep doing it. I love Will Rogers. He had some good quotes, and mm-hmm. he said, even if you're on the right track, you will get run over if you just sit there. And I think if people don't move, if they just sit there and others are taking over, then they lose heart. And so they slide back into the old rut. But I think that we have to just know that there's success around the corner, and that if we keep going at it, we're going to be wonderful.
That's well said. Now, Judy, of course, I suspect, you know, it's one thing to be a teacher, but it's also to know as the teacher, you're oftentimes a student. So I'm assuming that almost all your audiences that you address, whether it be as a keynote or with seminars and workshops that are a little bit more nose-to-nose, you walk away with a lot of learnings from them. Can you share with us some recent experiences of doing a workshop or giving a speech that kind of took your own breath away?
Oh, that's a tough question, because you are absolutely right. Every time I go out there and do a presentation, I come home thinking how I'm going to change it next time because of something I've learned. And I get emails from people that talk about the differences in their lives because of what I've brought them. And maybe that's the big learning lesson. If somebody's thinking of changing careers and they want to go into a field where they can be of service to others, mm-hmm. it's magical.
It is absolutely
magical, because it comes back and you grow and you change and you just feel fabulous about yourself.
You know, you touched on an interesting point, though, earlier by saying, you know, this idea of your the voices in your head or outside of you saying, oh, just look at everything you're going to give up. You know, that this was part of some grand exit, as opposed to understanding what you were going to. I recall when I stepped out to become a consultant, and I was advised by so many people that just get ready. The only way you're going to be able to measure success is by your net worth. And I remember standing back and just wincing at that, saying, so this is just about the chase for the dollar? And I think you're so right on. It's that no, it's that one email, or it's that thank you note, or even it's that card of some client you worked with for maybe only an hour. And then you hear from them years later with a, oh, by the way, that conversation you and I had gave me the courage to. And you step back and you say, whoa, I never even realized I don't recall the conversation. But it really embeds in us a tremendous sense of responsibility, doesn't it, Judy?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I think that it's scary in a way, isn't it, when you're coaching or when you're speaking to people, because you do play a heavy role in their lives. And, you know, you hear Dr. Phil on his TV show say, today can be a changing day in your life. But it's true that you can listen to the same material from one speaker one day, from a different one the next day, but for some reason it hits.
Yeah, it hits. No,
and it's those hits that we're looking for. And you know what? I think people who are reading self-help books and going to see seminars have to realize the same thing, that read the next book, because maybe it'll be said in a different way and you'll get it this time.
Yeah, that's right. For those of you who just tuned in, it's my pleasure today to be speaking with Judy Sook from Triangle Seminars in Canada. In fact, it's triangleseminars.com. And you can also reach Judy by JudySuke at bell.net, whether that be to book her for an engagement or to ask her more about her career, like we've been talking about here. Judy, your professional training was in what field then, your academic background?
Boy, there's so many different ones. Business management certainly
okay.
was a big part of it, and then communication and leadership skills, and then finally through Toastmasters was the big stage skills, and
so
fundamentals of adult learning, all that kind of thing. There's so much.
Did it ever dawn on you that you were putting yourself on a trajectory to actually leverage that something that came to you, you know, with all due respect, relatively easily, that now could be a source of your livelihood?
I never thought that I would be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Certainly, you don't prepare to be a professional speaker when you're young. You don't think about that. But I think what happened was all of the experience I had I thought, I can help other people. Maybe just learn from my mistakes. If not, learn from other things, learn from my mistakes. And so, yeah, it just kind of all came together. However, before I actually stepped out in the professional field, I did take a few extra courses, and I did think about what I was doing. So there was some method to my madness along the way.
You know, it's interesting how I've met recently a couple comedians who actually have shifted from being stand-up comics and presenters to taking roles inside of organizations. And without any really business training per se, other than obviously their agent and working their own business. And I said, now that's interesting. And what they came to share with me is that who they were was so important to increasing the energy, which is kind of where you and I started this conversation, within these companies, that they saw a role, I don't know if it's being called chief comedian, you know, comedy officer, CCO. but I think, you know, back to our earlier questions, that we underestimate the power of that smile and the twinkle in our eye, particularly in areas of uncertainty and, of course, the big zone of fear that people live in.
You're absolutely right. I think that how many of us have a friend that we just want to spend more time with, mm-hmm. because they seem to have that positive outlook and they seem to always be able to see the bright side and they seem to be laughing more often than the rest of us. And that energy is needed in the corporate world. And I think I actually asked my clients one time, why is it that you hire me? Why not another corporate trainer? And they said, because I make things fun and people remember and want to do what I say. And so it's a really great shift for comedians to go into corporate training or to go in the corporate world. In fact, I have coached a number of stand-up comedians who are now keynoters or doing corporate mm-hmm. training.
So, geez, you're increasing the fold, in other words. You're multiplying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. You're going to get us.
We have to spread it. We have to
right.
spread this joy around. My mother's 98, still lives on her own. And she is thrilled by what I'm doing. She thinks I should be out there making the whole world laugh, and lighten up is the whole key. Don't take yourself so darn seriously.
Now tell me, though, does she remember you doing that when, like, you were perhaps a little bit of a precocious teen trying to, you know, go outside the curfew hour?
Yeah, in fact, one day she said to me, you're getting paid now for what you used to get kicked out of school for. I spent a lot of time in the principal's office.
I love it. Yeah, that's
and
right.
There was a guidance counselor in high school that took me aside and said, Judy, you will amount to nothing if you don't straighten up.
And so my question is, by chance, is that person still around, that perhaps you might send her a YouTube link for her to enjoy a little bit of I Told You So.
I've seen several of my teachers, so hopefully they've told that person about it.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because my daughter and I just yesterday were having a conversation, and we were talking about how much in society it's shifted away from you don't spank your children if something's wrong, and if they do something wrong. And I told her, well, listen, Jordan, you don't have any idea how lucky you were, because I got my mouth washed out with soap all the time. And she says, what? I mean, it just didn't compute.
Literally.
I said, and it wasn't ivory, by the way. It was lava soap, and I couldn't spit it out. I had to hold it for 2 or 3 minutes. And she says, Mom, were you that bad? And I kind of had this twinkle in my eye. I said, oh, yeah, you have no idea. And, of course, probably there's some corporate leaders out there listening today or in a podcast that for whom I actually worked, and they said, yep, that was absolutely Zara. We could watch her the times we really wanted her to put duct tape, right? But enjoy that humor. Well, Judy, thank you so much again for joining us, lifting our spirits today. Again, our listeners, this has been Judy Suk with us from TriangleSeminars.com in Canada. You can reach her through her email at judysuke@bell.net. And, Judy, keep people laughing.
I will. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.
Bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.